This week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. What is Loot Crate, pray tell? Every month, you're going to get a crate with collectibles, apparel, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises delivered right to your door. Every month, you're going to get a new t-shirt and pin and other assorted items in each crate, from action figures, comics, stuff for your kitchen, exclusive items you cannot get anywhere else. Franchises like Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, Fallout 4, Star Wars, and more. You know, maybe this month they'll have something from the new Star Wars. I just checked out the new trailer. I actually watched it 4 times in a day because there was a good article on The Ringer. What could have made the Star Wars trailer go wrong? I don't know. I would have liked anything they put out. So maybe there'll be a Star Wars themed crate coming soon. But be sure to go ahead and subscribe. Less than $20 a month, you get plenty of great items in your Loot Crate. Lootcrate.com/Shaw. We are a week away from the NFL draft. Let's talk some Bears. We are so close. We're almost there. 1 week away from the 2017 NFL draft, where the Bears have the number 3 pick. We are breaking it all down for you right here on PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Fishbane. Go ahead, give me a follow on Twitter, at KFishbane, joined by my producer, Dan Mott, at Mott's Thoughts. A little bit later in the show, Dan Pompey, great Bears and NFL writer. You can see his stuff at Bleacher Report, The Athletic, Sixth Score, will join us to preview the draft from a Bears perspective. And we also take your questions on a special draft mailbag edition of the podcast. We want to make sure we cover every angle of this draft. It's a big one, obviously, for the Bears, who haven't had a pick this high in a long time. And as Ryan Pace said, he promised they'll never have it again. They don't want to be to have the number 3 pick again. But we're at this point. One of the great things about the draft, with our podcast at least, is you should listen to our recent episodes leading up to the draft. They are still absolutely timely. We had Robert Mays on 2 weeks ago from The Ringer talking about some of the different ways the Bears could go, quarterback, cornerback, safety, etc. Also had some fun Jay Cutler talk with him. And last week, Stephen White, one of my favorite guests in the show, he broke down Jonathan Allen and Solomon Thomas, as well as talking a little bit about the safeties and the quarterbacks in the draft, given his philosophy as a former NFL player and current writer for SB Nation. So go check those podcasts out. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, look up the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, give us a 5-star rating while you're there. That would be very nice of you. And check out all of our stuff online at profootballweekly.com/Bears. So we're going to get to Dan Pompey in just a minute to get his take on what the Bears will do. We're going to hear from Ryan Pace next Wednesday. And it's his least favorite press conference of the year because he really can't tell us anything, but he has to do it. And we'll try to see what we can get out of him, see if we can read the tea leaves and make any prediction on what the Bears are going to do Thursday night. The one thing I'm confident on, and we're going to get to this a little bit in the mailbag later in the show, I am confident the Bears would love to trade down. Most teams do, especially in a draft like this where there just isn't a quarterback, it seems, that is worthy enough of being picked in the top 5. They, I'm sure, are open to trading down. So, you know, I imagine he will say that they've taken calls and whatnot, but that's one thing to keep an eye out. The other thing is just the quarterback position. You know, we're going to learn so much more about Ryan Pace based on what the Bears do at quarterback, whether they take somebody in number 3, trade down, take somebody later in the first round, trade back into the first round, or take somebody on Friday, or maybe wait all the way till Saturday. Whatever it is, we're going to have a much better sense. This is foreign territory for us. We don't know Ryan Pace as a GM drafting a quarterback. He has not done it yet as a general manager of the Chicago Bears. So that's going to be the big storyline. And for more on the quarterback position and what the Bears can do, might do, should do, will do next week, let's talk with Dan Pompey.
You can read Dan Pompey's work at The Athletic, Bleacher Report, and on WSCR's website. Always have to check out his top 10 observations at the end of every game. And he joins us now on the Chicago Football Podcast. And Dan, I'm going to start you out with an easy question. Who are the Bears going to draft on Thursday night?
It should be an easy question, right? Picking third, you would think it'd be pretty well telegraphed by this time. But it's not, I think in part because we don't know what the San Francisco 49ers are going to do at number two, and also because of the possibility of trades, both by the 49ers and by the Bears. And, I think the other complicating factor is the Bears could go in so many different directions if you just looked at their roster and you said, what do they need? Well, they need one of everything almost. So there's a lot of different ways they could approach that pick. I think, in a perfect world, they'll be able to trade down. But I think that's not necessarily going to be an easy thing to do because there are more sellers of those top picks than there are buyers.
You know, it's been obviously decades since the Bears had this high of a pick. And it's so obvious to say, okay, it's a number three pick. It's the third year for Ryan Pace and John Fox. This is a critical pick for the future of the team. But if they don't take a quarterback with the third pick, you would hope that they would take a game-changing player. But how critical is that one pick, whoever they take in the first round, to the future of this team, especially if they're looking at, maybe one of the safeties or one of the defensive linemen?
I think there's two ways to look at a pick that high. The first one is you have to kind of shoot for the moon and hope you could get a guy who could be a transformative player in your franchise. And the other way to look at it is you cannot miss on this pick. You cannot take a player who is too risky and maybe just end up striking out completely and bombing out, because then you set the organization back for a number of years, and you also are going to end up with a scorched earth in terms of the people who picked him. So I think you want to find a balance between those two things. And the most important thing to me is that you don't miss with this pick. You don't just completely whiff. You need a good, solid player who's going to help you for many, many years.
When you look, Dan, at the safety position, and as someone who has covered this team for a long time, you're well aware of the team's futility at safety, at least since Mike Brown. We have a draft in which there are a couple guys who could be worthy of that number three pick. They could be those kind of, game-changing franchise-type safeties. That's the way they're projected, and Jamal Adams and Malik Hooker. What's kind of your philosophy about that position and where the Bears are with that position, and whether or not they could take one of those guys as high as number three?
Yeah, I definitely think they could. I think both players are good fits for them, Kevin. Hooker is probably a little more high-end. He fits what they need a little bit better because he makes plays on the ball, and the thing that this defense has lacked more than anything is players who can come up with turnovers and big plays. And Hooker, of course, has done that. He came up with 7 interceptions last year, and the problem with him, of course, is that he just has such a limited body of work, and he's been a little injury prone, so there's some risk with him. With Adams, I think you probably get a guy who you would feel better about in terms of he's not going to bust. He's going to be a good, solid player, but he might not be the guy who ends up with 8 interceptions or, leading the league with interceptions every year. He had 5 in his career at LSU, but I think he's the kind of guy who could lift a defense, too, with his leadership and toughness and intangibles in addition to his ability to make plays.
One of the things I want to ask Ryan Pace about next week, and it'll be, all the questions we ask Ryan Pace are tough for him to answer, but there has to be a human element, Dan, for Ryan Pace when he looks at guys who have any kind of injury history. And Kevin White was a fluke injury. It wasn't like he had medical red flags coming in. But in your experience looking at GMs, looking the way these guys look at drafts, is it hard to imagine that Ryan Pace can truly, you know, not be fazed by a guy like Malik Hooker, a guy like Marshawn Lattimore, or Jonathan Allen that has some question about medical, considering how much injuries have really, you know, kind of dictated what his regime, what it's been like for Pace the past couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's got to look at that hard. I mean, you don't want to take a player who's going to end up sitting on your bench for half the season or not be there when you need him the most down the stretch. And, of course, the Bears have had terrible luck with that. But I also think you have to look at each individual as a separate case, because you can't just throw a blanket over everyone who's been hurt or who's had an injury history and say, you know, he's going to get hurt again. You have to look at the reasons and why you think or don't think that it's going to happen again. So certainly they are kind of flags on these players, but I don't think the injuries are necessarily a reason to eliminate any of them, depending on what your doctors say and what you feel your risk tolerance is at the with the individual player.
And Dan, I think you should be really proud of me that I have yet to ask you about the quarterback position. It's been like four questions. Very impressive, but it's that time. Let's talk quarterback. Being someone who's covered the team, covered this league for a while, what do you think is maybe not even just Bear specific, but the best way to handle drafting a quarterback, especially in a draft like this?
I think the first thing that's important, Kevin, is you don't reach. You don't just, I mean, you have to reach a little bit at the quarterback position. You always do, because the position gets kind of overvalued in the draft based on the other positions and how they compare. But you don't want to just really, you know, roll the dice completely on a guy and pass over a player at another position who you feel is definitely going to be a sure thing, whereas the quarterback could be, might be. But you have to do what you have to do with that position. They need to draft a quarterback, and they need to draft one high, because the future of the position is really up in the air, and they have not had a young developmental guy that they really feel strong about in a long time. You know, the good news is there is a little bit of depth in this draft, but I think some of these guys, I think there's probably four of them that are going to go in the first round, and you know, I don't know if four of them should go in the first round, but that's what you're dealing with so many teams in need of a quarterback, and they're not being a really strong group of top-end players in this draft. You know, Mitch Trubisky is going to get pushed up probably higher than he should be. Deshaun Watson might be pushed up higher than he should be. Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Kizer. But I think you want to make a smart pick, and you really better have conviction about a guy. And then the other thing is you better have a really good plan in place to develop him.
Looking at the guys that they have to develop him, and when you consider Dow Loggins' system, the way John Fox likes his quarterbacks, I mean, we really don't know about Ryan Pace because he's never drafted a quarterback. So that's a little bit of the unknown. But knowing that, and then the other side, having your own opinions or what you've gleaned from scouts about these quarterbacks, who are some of the guys you think would be decent fits for the Bears, regardless of where they could take that quarterback?
Well, you know, I think the first thing to understand is I don't think any of these guys are ready to play this year.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take a guy with a number three pick and say he's not ready to play, that's tough, especially with a group that, you know, has John Fox's group has struggled the first 2 years. I mean, I think this team needs to win now, and I think they need an impact player with that number three pick. So if you're staying there and you're picking, I think it makes more sense to pick another position that can help you now. If you can trade down, maybe you could end up then with a defensive player and a quarterback, which would be ideal. But I think, you know, the other thing that stands out to me too, when you talk about developing these guys, you know, can Dow Loggins develop a quarterback? I think that's a complete unknown. We have not seen it. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. He's never had a chance to work with a guy like this. Of course, he had Johnny Manziel for a brief period of time in Cleveland, but I don't think anyone could have developed Johnny Manziel, so we shouldn't hold that against him. But the other thing that stands out to me about the quarterback development position is they let go of Alshon Jeffrey, who to me I think would have been a young quarterback's best friend. And now, you know, you're looking at a young quarterback coming in and throwing to some receivers who are kind of inexperienced themselves for the most part and, you know, are somewhat of question marks too. So it's you know, not the most ideal situation to develop a young quarterback the way it looks right now.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to be a Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboys situation that Dak had in his rookie season. I want to go to a couple of the other positions, Dan, that we don't talk about a lot, probably because the Bears aren't going to take them at three. And I'll start with wide receiver. I think that's a really intriguing position, and we will learn a lot about what the Bears think about Kevin White and Cameron Meredith based on what they do in the draft, because I see some people who say it's a huge need and they should take somebody, you know, with that 36 pick, you know, in the second round, or maybe, you know, hey, they still believe Kevin White could be a good player. They love Cameron Meredith. They have Wheaton, Kendall Wright. Maybe they don't need a wide receiver. Where are you at in terms of what they need at that position?
To me, Kevin, it's down the line. You know, I think they need players at other positions way more than they need a wide receiver. I think they're allowing Alshon Jeffrey to go, to me, was a statement of faith in Cameron Meredith's development and also Kevin White's ability to return from injury. This team, I know they still feel very, very strongly about Kevin White, and they think he can develop into a number one receiver. And they certainly feel that Cam Meredith can be a number two receiver. So I wouldn't go out and spend a high pick on another wide receiver when you've got these glaring needs in the defensive secondary, and you know, you could use help at so many different positions. You know, it's a pretty good group of wide receivers up top there, but you know, some of these guys have question marks too, in terms of injuries and different issues. So I would, to me, if I were the Bears, that's down the line. Maybe you look at a guy, you know, in the fifth round or something like that, not the first two.
And what about cornerback? Because I look at this team and I see, you know, seven guys with starting experience, but I don't see one legit number one corner, you know, which makes me wonder if a Marshawn Lattimore or Gerrion Conley would be an option at number three. But they do have a lot of guys, so it's not like depth is necessarily an issue. What do you think about, you know, in terms of the need at cornerback and the type of guy they could bring in at that position?
Yeah, I think it's a big need. You know, to me, you need a cornerback who can cover top wide receivers, the guys who are 6'3" and run fast and can make the circus catch. And in order to get that kind of cornerback, you need to draft one pretty high and then hope that he pans out to everything you think he can be. So they don't have that guy. And I think you know, the guys that they signed in free agency are not guys who have long histories of being great producers. I think they've got their fingers crossed a little bit with Marcus Cooper that he continues to develop. And, you know, they hope they get a good year out of Prince Amakamara. But to me, I think it's one of their major needs. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them draft a corner in the first couple rounds.
And then the third position I wanted to touch base with you on is offensive tackle. And I think if you ask Bears fans, Bears fans still can't stand Charles Leno, and they all want like a franchise left tackle. But I think the Bears like Leno enough. He's in a contract year. They reportedly were interested in Ricky Wagner. So, and Bobby Massa doesn't have any guaranteed money left at the right side. We know how good the interior is. What do you think about what they can do at the tackle position? Obviously, a very weak tackle draft, which means they could probably get one of the better tackles in the draft, if, you know, in the second or third round. So that's the flip side of the coin there with that position.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, this draft, given what's available and given what they have on the roster, I don't think there's a strong chance of them taking an offensive tackle early. You know, unless, you know, the problem with it being a weak class is the tackles are going to get pushed up because the teams that are desperate for tackles are going to reach and take one. So then by the time, let's say the Bears want to take one in the second round, by the time they pick, you might be looking at an offensive tackle that normally would go in the third round. And, you know, that's it wouldn't make sense to me to reach for an offensive tackle there unless some freak circumstance and one of the better guys fell to them. And I don't see that happening.
Joined here with Dan Pompey, just a couple more questions as we are less than a week now from knowing who the Bears are going to take at number three. Dan, the schedule came out last night. So what's your predicted record? That's what everyone's doing these days, predicting the record right after the schedule comes out.
I got to tell you, you know, to me, that is the silliest thing that we do as journalists, to sit there and try to project records at this point of the season. I never liked doing it when I had to do it back at the Tribune, or I think we did it way back when I was at the Sun-Times even, but because so many things are uncertain at this point. You don't really know what rosters are even going to look like. The other thing that I always find is that, you know, a matchup looks completely different oftentimes in April than it does in October, because we know so much more about the teams at that point. So I'll just say this, you know, am I real optimistic, bullish on the Bears this year? No, I'm not. I think this team is still kind of in that rebuilding mode, but I do think they have improved their depth a lot, and they've kind of brought in a lot of guys who can help them be more competitive. You know, the biggest issue for them is if they're going to be healthier than they were last year, though, because they had some decent players last year, players we think were decent players, who just couldn't get on the field or stay on the field. And if that reverses itself, you know, then they've got a chance to maybe compete for a playoff spot.
And I'll wrap up with this. We're going to kind of backtrack in time here, but I think our listeners and Bears fans would love to know just your overall analysis of Ryan Pace's decision to sign Mike Glennon for the contract he signed him in, and just that kind of move at that position for a guy like Mike Glennon.
You know, I don't think he had really good options, so he ended up taking the guy who was there. Now, obviously, Ryan Pace has said a couple times that he's thought highly of Mike Glennon, going back to when Mike Glennon came out of the draft, and I guess there were even some conversations at another point about doing a deal for him. So, you know, I guess that's a good thing, that he really believes in him and he sees something in him that maybe Glennon hasn't shown in his opportunities to play when he was in Tampa. But I think, you know, this is not the kind of player who you could really say, yeah, he's definitely going to be the quarterback of the future and he's going to be the franchise guy. You're hoping he can develop into that. And I think the results so far on him have been mixed. And, you know, I think they need more of the position, which is why we talked earlier about drafting a quarterback, and I'm sure they will draft a quarterback. I'm sure Ryan Pace understands that as well. And I know that the Bears have been looking hard at quarterbacks, and I think they see Glennon as certainly a piece to the puzzle. And the thing is, you can never have too much at that position. So he is, at the very worst, a good way to hedge your bets on your draft pick. And I think we'll see what happens when he gets his opportunities. I'm interested to see what he does. I mean, I think, you know, we all have to at least give him a chance to go out and play.
And for one thing, Dan, quarterback press conferences will be different in Halas Hall than they have been the past seven seasons. So we can all agree on that.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Glennon seems like a very amiable young man, and it'll be good to deal with him.
Well, let's see how he handles when those vulture Chicago sports columnists come after him after their first loss. I imagine he might handle a little better than the last quarterback, but maybe might not be as funny as the last quarterback was in those situations. But
a lot of people talk about Jay like that, and I have too, but we're going to miss him in the media because he was always good copy. That's the thing about Jay Cutler. He really engendered a lot of strong opinions from people. He was always doing something that was kind of controversial or interesting. And, you know, from that standpoint, I kind of really enjoyed having him around.
I absolutely agree with you, Dan. I've said it before that I am going to miss his press conferences. I'd always found him to be entertaining, and he just didn't care and would just say whatever he felt like saying and did not care about any kind of blowback. And that, you're right. That made our job a little more fun. So we'll, not going to necessarily get that out of Mike Glennon, but it's a different guy. So Dan Pompey, go check out his stuff at The Athletic, Chicago, and Bleacher Report, and WSCR, The Score. Dan, next week, will be able to tweet and write about actual players the Bears draft. Thank the Lord, and thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Kevin. My pleasure.
Big thank you again to Dan Pompey. Go check out his stuff at The Athletic as well as on Bleacher Report and follow him on Twitter for great insight. I always love Dan's 10 observations after every Bears game. Hopefully he'll do some 10 observations after they make their pick at number 3. So the fans, you guys have lots of questions, thoughts, opinions on the draft. Trust me, I know them. You tweeted all of them at me after I posted my mock draft. By the way, I have another NFL mock draft coming next week. I promise my last one. I don't like doing them necessarily, but we have to do them, and you will probably not like who I pick for the Bears. So just stay tuned for that at profootballweekly.com. But we went to Twitter. We asked for your questions. Here are your tweets on our mailbag. Love that song. First up from CJ, what's more likely, the Bears stay up, stay put, or trade down? And if they do trade down, who would be the most likely team to make the move to trade up? So I would be stunned if they traded up. I think that, they should be confident in a group of guys that could be there at 3. So I don't see them trading up. But trading down, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is something that they should want to do. I'm sure they do want to do. And especially if they want one of the safeties, maybe even a Deshaun Watson or Mitchell Trubisky. There's a lot of guys you could argue they could trade down for. I don't know how much it's the team that would trade up with them that you should watch. It's more the player. The reason we think it's going to be so hard to trade down this year is there isn't a Carson Wentz or Jared Goff. There isn't a Jameis Winston or a Marcus Mariota. There's not that clear-cut guy, maybe outside Myles Garrett, that a team's going to trade up for. And teams just don't trade up that high in the top 10 picks for a non-quarterback. The one guy to consider is Leonard Fournette, because he might be that rare player at running back that is just that good. And I think the Jaguars at number 4, being a team that could use a running back, might scare a team who falls in love with Leonard Fournette into moving up. And that one team I could think of would be the Carolina Panthers. They've done a lot of research on Fournette, and you could argue that this is a team that was 15-1 2 years ago. They still have most of the pieces from that team, obviously missing a big one, Josh Norman. They could think that they're a Leonard Fournette away from making it to back to the Super Bowl. So maybe that is a team that really wants Leonard Fournette. I've seen a lot of mocks have Fournette going to them at 8, but maybe they freak out. Maybe they think that the Jaguars are going to take him, and that's the one thing I could think of. I don't see a team trading up for Jonathan Allen. Now, the Browns are interesting. We got another question about the Browns and trading. This one comes in from Danielle Petrie. Oh, wait, no, let me stick with this one. Danielle Petrie asks, what would be the reaction if the Bears drafted Leonard Fournette at number 3? Dan Mott, I'll bring you in here, my producer. Big Bears fan. If you found out the Bears took Leonard Fournette number 3, what would be the first thing that came to your mind? I think that's it right there. you're without words. No, this is a perfect reaction, because I think that would be every Bears fan's reaction if they took Leonard Fournette. The only thing I could think of is if they went with like a wing back setup and had Leonard Fournette taking snaps, just running zone read with Jordan Howard all day long, and Mike Glennon would just kind of stand there. If they just run an option offense, it'd be remarkable if they took Leonard Fournette. I know Ryan Pace is best player available, but I think running back is a certain position we don't expect them to take. So Fournette is that guy to keep an eye on, because I think he is that type of player that a team could trade up for. The other one might be O.J. Howard, because he could be that good at tight end, but I don't think he's going to be as high as number 3. The Browns are the big wild card. And we got a question from X-Cub Factor. I like that, the X-Cub Factor. He said, some mock show Cleveland train up for San Francisco's second pick. That'd be crazy if Cleveland trades up and has the first pick and the second pick. Might there be a deal between Cleveland and the Bears instead if something with San Francisco doesn't pan out? So that's the other team to watch. Cleveland's got the 12th pick. They're in perfect position to take Myles Garrett at one and any quarterback they really want, unless there's some kind of run. Remember, the Jets at 6, Bears at 3, Niners at 2, Bills at 10 could all take a quarterback. So the Browns at 12, do they stay at 12, take the best quarterback available, or do they trade up if they have a guy? So that's another team to watch, and I guess that could be a team, but I would really be stunned if they moved all the way up 9 spots to number 3 to take a quarterback. Next question comes in here, speaking of quarterback, from Shannon on Twitter. Where would Mike Glennon rate against the current draftable quarterbacks? This is an interesting question, and we talked about this with Jimmy Garoppolo, because I made the argument that if you think Jimmy Garoppolo is better than all the quarterbacks available, if you think he would be the number 3 pick if he was in this draft, why not trade your number 3 pick for him? It's so hard to compare because you have 2 years of tape of Glennon playing against NFL players. So you know more about him, which I think is enough to put him maybe as the number one guy for some people. I think Ryan Pace would probably say Mike Glennon would be number one on his draft board. Clearly the Bears think very highly of Glennon. I think other teams might say, we've seen what we need to see from Mike Glennon. We know what he is. We don't know about Deshaun Watson or Mitchell Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Kizer. Those four guys have ceilings that might be higher than Mike Glennon. So I think it would be a team-by-team analysis. I like the fact that with Glennon you'd be getting a known commodity, but what is that known commodity? So that's something certainly the Bears weighed when they gave him that contract, and that told you that they felt so strongly about him compared to some of the other quarterbacks that are going to be in the draft. Another question, this one on Twitter from Johnny. If the Bears don't make the playoffs but improve to 7-9 or 8-8, is John Fox still the coach? And that's a really interesting question. We're looking way into the future here. We're talking like 9 months from now. If they're 8-8 next year, they probably will not make the playoffs. But think about this, Dan. That's a 5-win improvement.
Yeah, I think they wind up keeping him.
Yeah, so and he could argue that. That's a 5-win improvement. And then next year, that would be playoffs or bust. 2018, that would be it. So, yeah, I think if they go 8-8, because if you put the Bears in a vacuum, you would say, all right, I think they could be in that maybe 6-10 to 9-7 range. Let's see who they draft. And then you're like, maybe 8-8. And then you think, okay, 8-8's not, you know, that'd be a fine year. That'd be probably a good year, but then you remember it's 5 more wins than they had last year. That's an insane improvement. You don't see that very often in the NFL. They had a lot of reasons that they only won 3 games last year because of the injuries. But I think if they go 8-8, I think John Fox could lobby, say, look, we improved so much from last year. You give me one more year, we're going to get to the playoffs. And that would be enough. You know what else would keep John Fox and Ryan Pace here longer, no matter what they do next year? Drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Just ask Jeff Fisher. Although it didn't work for him in the end. He drafted Jared Goff, and then that was it. Then he was gone. But a lot of times, if you have a young quarterback, the ownership's going to want you to be the one to use the number one quarterback. And if you bring in another GM who doesn't like that quarterback, then you got problems, and you have a wasted top pick. Something new to consider. But I think if they go 7-9-8-8, that's a big enough improvement where you could see Fox staying. I think 6-10 and anything will work. Even 7-9, I think he might go. They might have to make a change. But I think 8-8, you get to 500, that would be something to watch. Dan, I sometimes forget to plug our Facebook.
You guys know how to post videos to Facebook?
We do, and you guys know how to post questions to Facebook. Make sure you like our Facebook page, facebook.com/PFWBears. And this one on our Facebook page comes in from Mike. And this has been a common question. We've talked about this, but it's all very much important to discuss again. Is the 3rd pick too high to draft a safety, or is that a thing of the past? And everyone we've spoken to, I'm talking draft experts. I'm talking analysts, other people. If the guy is a game changer, if he is a generational player, a la Ed Reed, you take him as high as you can. And there are people who believe Malik Hooker and Jamal Adams are those types of players. And obviously the Bears have a huge need at number three at the position at safety where they could take one of those guys. So, yeah, no, I don't think it's too high to take a safety, especially with one of these two players. You know, talking to Greg Schiano, who coached Malik Hooker, you know, and he also coached the NFL, he goes, the thing is there is a drop-off. You could have a guy at safety that is just fine, and you don't notice him. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make big plays. But if you find that rare talent, you should take him as high as you possibly can. And for the Bears, that could be as high as number three. So interesting questions from all of you guys. Thank you so much for tweeting them and going to our Facebook page to ask that. Again, PFW Bears on Facebook. Be sure to like our page. I'll try to do a Facebook chat with you guys after they make their pick at some point, maybe on Friday next week, and we can kind of break that down. So that'll do it for this week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. Big thank you to my speechless producer, Dan Mott. Follow him on Twitter, at Mott's Thoughts. You can follow me, at K Fishbane. Big thank you to our guest, Dan Pompey. And, of course, this has been Pro Football Weekly's Chicago Football Podcast. We'll try to sneak in one more episode before the draft next week. But be sure to stay tuned to profootballweekly.com/Bears for all the best coverage and more Bears talk coming at you next week.